Tens of thousands of people in Syria still say ISIS is not yet dead. And what are we going to do about that? Well, I'm going to talk to a guy this episode who might have some ideas. He's my good friend, Victor Marx.
This is The Hot Zone. Engaging with the news in a whole new way, international war correspondent Chuck Holton brings insight into areas of crisis and lets you help those affected.
Hey, folks, thanks for joining us today. I am really amazed as I read the news about what's going on over in Syria right now. As you know, I was over there in February with Free Burma Rangers, and we were doing a lot of work with several different aid organizations. And what we find now is that there are 72,000 women and children in one refugee camp in Rojava. And most of those women are diehard ISIS supporters. And they're saying ISIS is going to make a resurgence over there. And so I wanted to bring in one of the partners, and that's All Things Possible Ministries, ATP Ministries, and their founder, Victor Marx. Hey, Victor, how you doing?
Doing great, Chuck. Good to see you, brother.
Hey, thanks for joining us from Colorado. Is it snowing up there still? Or?
We actually just got a break, and it looks like the sun is going to have its day here finally.
Finally. Wow. Well, as you know, we were over there with Dave in Syria, and we handed out hundreds and hundreds of the lions and the lamb stuffed animals that you guys sent. And I can tell you that they made a big difference with those kids. So heartbreaking just to see the suffering of those little children, regardless of whether or not their parents are terrorists or whatever. The kids don't ask for that. They don't deserve that. And you've seen that yourself. You and I actually met for the first time over there. Tell me a little bit about what you've done in Iraq and during this fight against ISIS and what you guys are doing now.
Well, you know, we originally went into Iraq soon after ISIS had hit, and it was to help a group of young women who had been held captive, and the trauma was so severe. You know, some of them had been raped up to 30 times a day, and that they just wanted to die. And the Kurdistan Regional Government asked us to come in and help. So we brought a team in first, and then that's when we brought in Dave, an FBR, to do a little recon. And from there, we just realized the need is enormous, and we've got to help in whatever way that we can. And that's why I think we've developed good partnerships with people who supply resources, people like Dave, who are on the tip of the spear, are going to be on the edge for medical and help us with trauma care and follow up. And to date, we've helped some 32,000 children and provided surgeries because you know how it is. I mean, kids would be running and ISIS fighters would shoot them and trying to do headshots. That's how evil some of these guys are. So now, you know, even though the caliphate's over, there's not a land grab anymore. There are, you know, 30, 40,000 fighters that have just gone back into the population. And I do think they are waiting. But the time is now for organizations to reach into. Think about it. All these women and children, these ISIS wives and these cubs of the caliphate, so many of them are in one place that we can actually reach them by showing them love, giving them help, to try to start to change ideology. And when y'all were out there, I mean, some of the video you sent and photos, man, first of all, thank you for putting yourself on the line once again, Chuck. You're far more than a reporter, man. You're a warrior, and we so appreciate you. But, yeah, to see kids smile for the first time and however long under all that threat and death and injury, because they were given a little trauma tool that music could play to lower their anxiety, and then prayers to God, letting them know that they're not the problem. Because you know as well as I do with any type of conflict and war like this, it's the children that always pay the price.
Absolutely, without a doubt. And we saw that firsthand. Tell me a little bit about what ATP Ministries started out doing and what they're doing now. What's your focus?
Yeah, we started out, guys, I think it's 17 years ago. We were reaching children and young, you know, teens who have been incarcerated in the U.S. We started reaching the top 3 to 5% chronic and violent offenders. There was such a need, and we just felt like that's where God had put us. So really our original intent was to reach troubled and abused youth here in the U.S. And it started growing, and we made a pretty big impact and still do in over 1,500 juvenile facilities in the country, because obviously we want our country to be solid before we help with others. And so we started there, and then, you know, through the high risk work, going to Burma with Debut Bank and seeing the need there, and then into the Middle East. Now we've been making effect in Nigeria. We're getting ready to do a pump into Cambodia. We have a safe house there for girls who are not just sex trafficked, but it's other NGOs who are in the counter sex trafficking that get girls that are too high risk for them. And then they send them to us because our capacity is just a little bit bigger. And we're, you know, dealing with a case right now, a girl who was raped, battery acid poured on her. The guy tried to kill her. And we really put her in a great hospital. I had to provide security because he sent 3 people to kill her when she didn't die. And they couldn't do it. So they couldn't get in. So, yeah, this work, I think, is just showing God's love, mm-hmm. bringing practical help, you know, in the name of Christ. And people get it, yeah. and they need it.
I think that you kind of touched on the only real solution for what we saw over in Syria, because if there's 72,000 ISIS wives in this camp, they're being guarded by Syrian Defense Forces. The Syrians, these Kurds don't have the money to keep watching no these women. And before long, they're going to just probably just have to let them go. And they can't keep them there forever. Yep. These kids are growing up in this very unhealthy environment and a very radical environment. They're sort of self-radicalizing. I mean, if anybody in that camp says, you know what, I'm kind of tired of this. I think I'd rather, you know, do something else. All the other women in the camp will beat that woman to death.
And Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So it's this self-radicalizing, it's this self-perpetuating evil there. And I think you touched on it. Really, the only solution that will work long-term is showing these people Jesus. And so do you agree with that?
I do 100%. I think back in Mosul when we were there, one night we were doing a recovery of a child, little baby Ali. And I remember walking out of that little fob, and a commander of ISIS in Mosul had just been captured. And, you know, I asked General Mustafa, I said, hey, let me talk to him. I spent about an hour with him, Chuck. And I asked him, I said, have you ever met an American? He said, no. I said, a Christian? He goes, no. I said, then why do you want to kill me? And, you know, he was sitting down, his hands tied behind his back, because he surely would have. And then I started asking about his family. I said, you married? Yes. Tell me about your daughters. I spent time getting to know this guy. And I asked him, why did you join ISIS? And he was like, you know, my brother went first. It was pressure, but they offered money and just like real stuff. Right. And then I asked him, I said, you know, you don't have much time left. And I said, do you mind if I pray for your wife and your daughters? And he said, please. And I was able to pray for them. I even prayed for him. But I remember asking him this, Chuck, I said, what would you want me to tell young men who are on that verge of being radicalized into ISIS or an extremist group? What would you want me to tell them since you're not going to be here much longer? I'll never forget, he looked up at me and he says, tell them, do not come to the darkness. Mm. And when he said that, I went, clearly, that's what we're facing. It is a battle between light and darkness, good and evil. And, you know, I'm at the point where all of my Muslim friends that we love and care for and even have on our teams, you know, we have a social media platform that reaches sometimes 3 to 5 million Muslims a week on social media. And one of my questions that I want to present is it worth it to the moderate Muslim to allow us to present the gospel to known radical ISIS extremists, if that would change their behavior, you know, from a heart transformation point, So I'm very interested to see what's going to be the result mm-hmm. of that ask because,
Yeah, you know, we are seeing, when I was over there this time, I got there a few days early before Dave and his crew, and I got a chance to go to church in Erbil. And I was amazed at how many former Muslims were there at the church service. And what a lot of them told me as I talked to them is the reason I became a Christian is because I was a very devout Muslim until ISIS came along. And when I saw how brutal they were, I just couldn't stomach it. I couldn't take it. And I had to find something different. So I think that there are a lot of Muslims that are kind of looking at that and going, yeah, I don't want to be a part of that. I mean, anybody with any shred of humanity in their heart doesn't. As you said, most of those people have not met an American. There's this caricature painted of Americans, this facade that's not really what we are, but that's what they're told that we are. And I would hate that caricature as well. And so, once they get to know Americans, I remember talking to one ISIS wife who spoke English, actually. She was from Russia. And I went over, her kids were all dirty and we were washing their kids up and we were giving them some water and giving them some food and stuff. And then right as we were talking, the U.S. military came rolling in because they came in every day to do intel collection on the group of people that were coming out of Baghouz. She started shaking and she said, oh no, oh no, here they come. Oh no. And I said, what's the matter? And she said, those are the Americans. They're going to rape us. They're going to torture us. They're going to hurt. And I said, who told you that? Well, that's what we've always been told that. And I said,
the propaganda.
Yeah. I said, they're not going to hurt you. They're not going to touch you. They're going to help you. If anything, they might ask you a few questions, but they're not going to rape. I said, you've been sold a lie. And I said, now I want you, I'm going to come back because you're going to be here for the rest of the day. When you go to get on the bus, when it comes this afternoon, I'm going to go ask you if I told you the truth or not. And I went back and talked to her again. And she said, thank you. I didn't know Americans were like that.
See, that's powerful.
It is.
My goodness.
It is.
And it's simple, right?
Well,
it's that simple.
Right. And you know what? I think that part of my job as a journalist is to not only tell that story, but to help educate Americans on the fact that these are human beings. Because, you know, I took water to the wife of an ISIS fighter. And I got a lot of flack from that, from my social media platform, you know, what kind of a horrible person are you? Why didn't you just shoot those people in the face? You know, that kind of thing. I just feel like it's part of my job is trying to connect the dots because nations go to war, but human beings shouldn't. And when we realize that you put your pants on the same way I do, you've got the same wants and fears that I've got, but you just have a broken ideology. And that's something that can be fixed, but we got to fix your heart. Anyway, tell me about what your plans are for the future. You said you're going to Cambodia. You got plans for any other places or what, you know, what's on your radar?
We do. Right now we're prepping for Cambodia, then Iraq, and then Syria. And we're actually going to be going back to the camp that you were at, providing a lot of resources because the need's so great.
It is.
And we're hoping that, you know, this next wave of just like you, they're seeing Americans, they're seeing Christians show love and care for them, that it will continue the process. And of course, just like you and them, social media, it's huge. So we'll be sharing things on our Arab platforms and trying to humanize and give some of them who've been radicalized a chance to turn. Because oftentimes they don't feel like they have an out, just like you said. And what we know to be for certain is that if we don't step up, we collectively as groups, NGOs, Christians, even governments, to help reach this next generation, these kids, it will be ISIS 5.0 because of what they're under. And also victims of ISIS that are still living in refugee camps that have had their life ripped and torn and their cities destroyed. Those young people are angry and they have a right to be. So we have got to, we've got a full throttle trying to show love, give resources, have some geopolitical solutions in some of those regions to help rebuild and hold people accountable for the evil that they've done. Because, you know, some people need to be shot. There's no doubt about it. But on mass scale, if killing solved the problem, we'd kill a lot. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't.
Yeah, we would have solved the problem a long time ago.
Yeah,
yeah, that's right. Well, one of the things I appreciate so much about ATP is just that you are so generous with your fundraising, with your time, with your resources, and with your energy in order to just get the job done. And it doesn't have to be all about Victor Marks. It doesn't have to be all about ATP. And you guys have done so much good for so many people. And so often you've done it in the background where nobody else can see. So I really want to thank you for that. And that is the kind of resource we need more of. If we have more resources in the hands of people like you, that we wouldn't need to pay so many taxes so that the government could try to do it, because the government is never going to do as good a job as people like we can do. These parallel structures of government, meaning the NGOs, the ministries, are always going to be far more effective than governments in trying to fix these problems. Government's really good at messing things up. That's why we give them the military, because the military's job is to go mess things up. But they shouldn't be in the job of trying to help people, because that's our job, and we shouldn't let them step on that. So thank you for the work you do, and thank you for coming on the show today with us. We really appreciate everything, and I hope to see you out there. If you're going someplace, give me a call, and maybe the Hot Zone will show up, and we'll follow along.
You bet. Thank you, Chuck. Appreciate you, brother.
All right, man. We'll see you.
The Hot Zone is produced by Amy Holton and Live Fire Media. Copyright 2019.